I hope you guys have spent some time since last Sunday thinking about chapter 4 of the book of Esther. I hope you have spent some time thinking about what it means for such a time as this. What is your definition for such a time as this? Have you thought about how should that affect you if you're put in a situation for such a time as this? Or maybe you just say, well, pastor's going to speak about it next week, and we'll just wait to hear about what he says. And then we may think about it and we may not. Now, I want to preach today to a congregation. I want to preach to an audience. I don't like to preach to juries. Can I get an amen, somebody? Most times, I preach to juries. You know what a jury is. A jury listens to all the information, gather all the facts, and then decide whether or not we want to make a decision on it or not. That's not what we are supposed to be, juries. What we are supposed to be is the defendants. The word is the jury. And it will convict you of your sin or not.
Yes, sir.
And if you're guilty, say guilty. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Guilty, you honor. Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much for being our God. And thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. Thank you for your word here in Esther chapter 4. There's a great deal of things going on. Great amount of lives being changed. History will be affected. Not just one individual, but an individual can be used to change the lives of many. Help us to be a congregation today. Help us to be in court and allow the word to be the jury. May we pray we're innocent according to your word. And if not, shall we agree that we're guilty and take the steps to eliminate that guilt. In your son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, we've already read through the entire chapter of chapter 4. We have looked at Esther being in the palace and not knowing what's going on. Having to hear from others that Mordecai was in sackcloth and ashes. Had to send word out from Hatach to go and find out what is going on. And when she finds out what's going on, the word of Mordecai comes to Esther. That's where we left off. Look at verse 9. And Hatach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Don't you know what's going on, girl? Sometimes you just gotta forget formality. Look at verse 12. And they told to Mordecai the words of Esther. Mordecai sends his word. Esther sends her word in verse 12. Verse 16, Esther sends her word back to Mordecai after Mordecai sends his word back to Esther. There's a whole bunch of words going back and forth between people. But my question is, how oftentimes do you and I talk when God's word don't even enter the conversation? I don't know about you, but Did some fans turn on? Got to cool this place off. Getting a little warm in here. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Husband and wife having conversations. Husband gives his word to his wife. Wife gives his word to her husband. Children give their word to parents, which I don't know what kind of house that is. Parents giving their words to their children. And very often, God's word don't even enter the conversation. I didn't know we as Christians have a right to talk to one another without implementing the thoughts of God. Pastor, what do you think about that? Oh, I think a lot, but it don't matter. What does God think about that? Oh, I guess I better just stop being personal and go ahead and get back in the word and preach the way most of us want to be preached to. Don't make it personal. Don't make it personal. The word is personal. Girl, don't you know what's going on in Shushan in all 127 provinces? You up there getting pedicures. Your nails done. Getting your eyebrows plucked. I shouldn't go there, should I? I should just leave it right there, shouldn't I? How hard? Ladies, don't tell me it don't hurt to get that waxed. That's a woman thing. A man ain't got guts enough to get waxed. Hurts too much. And y'all will go through that to look good for us. And we don't even appreciate it most of the time. Can't have an amen. Don't even notice it. And the worst thing can happen, I can come home and my wife will say something like, "Did you notice the driveway? We have one." Sometimes God want to just wax us of some sin, of some forgetfulness. Just a spiritual wax. Rip it out. Rip it. Kind of reminds me of a movie. My dear. Some of y'all on this side of the track won't understand what I'm talking about on that right now. Go ahead, girl. Rip it. Oh, get back to the word. And Esther's word went to Mordecai. Verse 10. And Esther said to Hatach, and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. Now, if you don't watch out, you will read these verses, and you really won't hear what Mordecai says to her. You will think you heard what Mordecai said. Because do you know that there is God deliverance without you? Now, that's two ways that God can deliver. God can deliver without you, and God can deliver you when you ain't around no more. Shall I make myself clear on this?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Because most of us don't understand for such a time as this. And if I perish, I perish. Verse 11. Esther's going to explain to Mordecai, you don't know how it works in the palace. Can't hear you, church. You ever been there in the world and just go, well, pastor, you can't expect me to act that way because you don't know how it works in the world. You see, pastor, you don't know how it works on my job. You see, pastor, you're stuck in a business where you only work one day a week. And you don't know what it means to have a boss that can fire you. I know what it means to have a boss that can kill you. You just don't understand, pastor, that there's bills that's got to be paid. You live in this control world. There's not that much reality, pastor. Yeah, see, that's what Esther's saying to Mordecai. I know you want me to go to the king, but it don't work that way here. See. Now let me explain it to you. How many of you have ever just got tired of folks explaining it to you? You ever been there? They want to explain it to you. Now the reason why they want to explain it to you because they want to explain why they hadn't done nothing. Why they haven't been obedient. See, I don't need no explanation. I just want to know, you've been obedient. Pastor, you've been obedient. Now, you know folks will get mad at me if I'm not obedient, but you expect me not to get mad at you if you're not? Because I'm the one that's supposed to forgive. I'm not that forgiving. Jesus is the forgiver. He called me to be a shepherd. Beat the sheep. You ever seen a shepherd deal with a sheep? Ever seen a shepherd? You know what the rod is for? Anybody know what a rod is for? Sheep run away? You go get him. You go get the sheep. You run away, you go get the sheep. You pick the sheep up. Even if he's tired, he can't walk. You pick him up, put him on your shoulder. Carry him back. Put him with the herd. I guess that flock. Sheep run away again, you go get him. Can I get an amen? Amen. You go get him. You pick him up, put him on your shoulder again, bring him back. You know he'll run away a third time because you were so nice the first two. Can I have an amen? Third time, you take the dog with you. You sick the dog on him. You make him run back. Can I have an amen? And he gets back and his tongue all hanging out. Dog doesn't nip, have hair be flying all the way back. Then the fourth time he runs off, you don't send the dog at him. You take the shepherd to go, pick him up, take his front leg, take his rod, and break it. Break it. Somebody say amen. You know how many people would get upset if they just see the shepherd break the leg and hadn't seen that sheep run off the last three times? oh, that ain't right. That ain't the way it works. That's not love. You know why he breaks the sheep's leg? Because by the time it heals up, he's learned not to run off again. So you know, it's a lot more comfortable being next to the shepherd. And if he runs off after breaking his leg, chops. Lammy, chops. Bad influence. I guess I better get back to the word. Y'all don't like my examples. I can tell right now. But it all boils down to verse 11. You just don't know how it works in the kingdom, Mordecai. All the king's servants know how it works here. You ain't no servant. You out there in sackcloth and ashes, and you won't even receive any clothes from me. I don't even know why I'm talking to you anyway. To whosoever, whether man or woman, that includes me, Mordecai, shall come unto the king, unto the inner court, who is not called, who is not invited, who isn't welcome, who comes on their own, who can take their own initiative. There is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live, but I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. Now go tell Mordecai that. And bring me a pedicurist. There seems to be a misunderstanding about what a responsibility is as a Jewish queen in a Persian world. What's the responsibility of a Christian prince in a secular world? A Christian princess in a heathen society. Is it any different than Esther? Do we look at it and say, yes, I know the protocol. I know how it works. But I also know God and how he works. And if I perish, I perish. That was the conclusion she came to after she found out that she's probably been called for such a time as this. What is for such a time as this? Well, let's see what Mordecai thinks it is. Verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. Oh, I see you know the protocol. But do you know the truth behind the protocol? I want you to understand, girl. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the rest of the Jews. Now, the king is given an edict. And the laws of the Persians and the Medes, Esther, can't be changed. So if the king has written out an edict, doesn't matter if you're the queen. You fall under the laws of the Medes and the Persians. Can't hear you. You know it doesn't matter if you're born in a Christian home. It doesn't make you a Christian any more than being born in a store make you a biscuit. And in my case, a burnt one. You fall under the law of condemnation if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter if your parents are walking with God, strong Christian grandparents, great grandparents, trooper looper duper grandparents. You know more than the New Testament, Old Testament, in the between Testament. If you don't know Jesus Christ, there's no advantage. You are under the laws of the Medes and the Persians, girl. Do you understand that? You have no special protection. The king has already said in this edict, you're going to die. Maybe that'll help motivate you here. Either way, you're going to die. If you don't go, you're going to die. If you go in front of the king, you may die. For such a time as this. Either way, you can succeed. The three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said, hey, either way, we're going to be delivered. Amen. From death or in death for such a time as this. And Nebuchadnezzar said, oh, you don't talk back to me. Heat up the fire. All of a sudden, the three boys said, well, maybe we ought to pray about this. For such a time. Ooh, let's see what. Mordecai was pretty smart. So if you all together keep your mouth shut, that's hold your peace. That's a nice way of saying, you know, if you want to hold your peace, you want to keep quiet about that. You don't want to raise no dandruff up. Oh, there's going to be some relief. There's going to be some deliverance. It's going to rise to the Jews from another place. Did you hear that? He said, now, let me see if I can talk to you about this, Esther. Let me see if I can break it down for you, girl. Deliverance is going to come. The faithfulness of God is going to bring the deliverance. The question is, are we going to be around to see it? If we don't act right now on what we can do, are we going to be around when God decides to deliver? Because he's going to deliver. He just may wait until you get out of the way so he can deliver. Anyone get my drift on what Mordecai is saying? Now, Esther, come on, girl. Listen to me now. If you don't step up now, you and I are going to die. That's just the bottom line to it. And God's going to deliver. It's just the fact that we're going to be gone. Now, if it's up to me, us, than you, I'd like to see him deliver while we're here. Anybody else got that idea? Wouldn't that be a good idea if we could see God deliver while we're here? Amen. But that means you got to take some steps. You got to take some action. You got to do some obedience. You got to put your life on the line. And you know what's so bad about today? It's not even our life we're putting online. It's our reputation. Most of the time, it's our convenience. Oh, I ain't worried, girl. I mean, I know God's going to deliver. I just don't want to be smoking before he does. I don't want to be part of the big conspiracy that's already been set in the motion. And you know what, girl? You can do something about it. Let me ask you a question, guy. Can I ask you a question? Can I just throw it out there? Okay. What if Mordecai would have said something like this? Now, I know I'm in sackcloth and ashes. I know I'm not supposed to come past the gate. But maybe it's such a time as this for me. Maybe I ought to just walk through the gate myself in sackcloth and ashes. Maybe I ought to just walk right in there where the king is and see if he holds out the scepter for me. Why not? I tell you why not. He'll get killed before he ever get through the gate. God didn't say, trust me in stupidity. Can I have an amen? He said, be wise as a and tender as a. Most of us want to be just tender. Tender Romanies. Is my age coming out? I don't know. This is the kind of question that passed my mind when I'm studying. Well, I'm gonna ask her to trust God. I can trust God just as much. I'm gonna walk in there and see if he throws the golden scepter out to me. But then again, wisdom says, you know, she's already in the palace. Sometimes I think we were talking a couple of weeks ago. Sometimes we forget that we need to have some Christians already in some places. We need some smart Christians do some things. I've seen a lot of dumb ones do some things. How many weeks are we supposed to be on chapter 4? We said it could be 2 or 3, right? It could be 2 or 3. Are you gonna go and do this, girl? Cause you know, we know he's gonna deliver. That's something we ain't got to worry about. You're not safe. You're not going to be delivered. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. That's me too, girl. And who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Oh, man, I got a lot of verses. On the next 2-3 verses, a lot of stuff. So I guess we'll break it down today as you leave with these thoughts. You know what for such a time as this is? It is a history-changing opportunity. For such a time as this is a history-changing opportunity. And it's never just for the individual. It's for a group of people. You ever been in a situation that was such a time as that? Many of us don't think we have. What if there was a Christian who had the opportunity when Hitler was a little boy? Could have shared Jesus Christ with him and led him to a personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think that could have been a history changing opportunity? You don't know. If you're not obedient, if you've ever been in such a time as this. How many of you have known you've been in a time such as this and didn't take advantage of it? Just flat out got scared. I don't know. Next week, we're going to be talking about a lot of them. Things that God has done, things that I've seen, things He's used us in, scriptures, history. Being changed for such a time as this. And if I perish, I perish. Did you know that at a time such as this is always a life-threatening time? It's going to cost you. Because if you share with Hitler and he didn't like it, he would come back to visit you later. Can I get an amen from somebody, y'all? Come on, talk to the pastor. Were you the one that shared Jesus Christ with me? I got a little chamber down the road that I think you'll fit right in. Jacuzzi, gas treatment. I think it'd be fine for you. I have some pictures at the house that has never been seen publicly. When some American soldiers first got to the gas chambers and caught the guards still there. And the guys had a couple of Polaroids and took these pictures. Unbelievable. The cost of if I perish, I perish. But to take the advantage, to make the move, to take the opportunity, to take the chance, to live for such a time as this, is nothing ever like it. And I just want to know. Sitting in this audience today, do I have one or two that could put themselves in that position for such a time as this? And if we perish, we perish. But if we don't, history is made. And if we do, history is made. Father, thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to know if we're in one of those moments. Help us to see if we're in one of those moments. Help us to know how to step out in one of those moments. Help us to never be the same after we step out in that moment. You're looking, Father, for a few good men and women that knows the cost and can see the outcome. A boldness and overriding fear. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.